Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. An Essay on the Principle of Population and Other Writings presents Thomas Malthus's landmark intervention in political economy, demography, and social theory. First published in 1798 and later revised and expanded, the essay argues that human population has a natural tendency to grow faster than the means of subsistence, creating recurring pressure on food, wages, welfare, and social stability. Malthus wrote partly against Enlightenment optimism, especially the belief that reason, reform, and social equality could steadily improve human happiness without confronting material limits. The Penguin Classics edition places the essay within a broader selection of Malthus's writings, allowing readers to see both the famous population principle and its wider intellectual context. The work is not a policy manual in the modern sense, but a theoretical and historical argument about scarcity, reproduction, poverty, and constraint. Its influence reaches economics, environmental thought, evolutionary biology, and debates about welfare, making it a foundational but contested classic. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, population growth and subsistence as unequal forces. The central argument of Malthus's essay is that population and subsistence do not naturally expand at the same rate. He proposes that, when unchecked, population tends toward geometric growth, while food supply increases only arithmetically. The force of the argument lies less in exact mathematical prediction than in the structural imbalance it identifies. Human reproductive capacity can outrun the material base needed to sustain life. This makes scarcity not merely an accident of poor administration, but a recurring pressure built into social existence. Malthus uses this principle to challenge utopian expectations that social improvement can proceed indefinitely through institutional reform alone. If population responds to better conditions by increasing, then improvements in wages, food availability, or public relief may be absorbed by higher numbers rather than permanently raising living standards. The claim is historically important because it turns population into a central variable in political economy. Instead of treating poverty only as a result of injustice, misrule, or unequal property, Malthus asks how biological reproduction interacts with land, labor, and food production. Secondly, preventive and positive checks as mechanisms of population control. Malthus distinguishes between two broad categories of checks that restrain population growth. Preventive checks reduce births, while positive checks raise deaths. Preventive checks include delayed marriage and what Malthus called moral restraint, especially the decision to postpone family formation until one can support children. He also discusses vice and practices that limit fertility, though his moral and religious assumptions shape how he evaluates them. Positive checks include famine, disease, war, and other forms of hardship that cut population down after it has exceeded available subsistence. This distinction is crucial because it gives the essay its practical and ethical tension. Malthus does not merely say that population will be limited. He asks whether limitation occurs through foresight or suffering. A society that fails to exercise preventive restraint will, in his view, encounter harsher positive checks. The mechanism also explains why he regarded population pressure as persistent across different societies and historical periods. Whether through deliberate restraint or involuntary misery, population must be brought into relation with resources. Thirdly, a challenge to Enlightenment optimism and theories of perfectibility. Malthus wrote against a late 18th century intellectual background in which thinkers such as William Godwin and the Marquis de Condorcet imagined far-reaching human progress through reason, equality, education, and institutional reform. His essay is therefore not only about food and population, it is a direct criticism of theories that assume social evils can be steadily reduced without encountering natural limits. Malthus argues that even if property were redistributed or political institutions improved, the population principle would reassert pressure over time. Better living conditions would encourage earlier marriage and larger families, increasing demand for subsistence and eventually lowering living standards again. This reasoning turns the essay into a critique of perfectibility. Malthus does not deny improvement altogether, but he insists that reform must account for reproduction, scarcity, and incentives. The result is a darker view of progress than many Enlightenment writers offered. Human reason can mitigate suffering, especially through foresight and restraint, but it cannot abolish the basic tension between population growth and the means of support. Fourthly, poverty, welfare, and the unintended consequences of relief. One of the most controversial aspects of Malthus's work is his treatment of poverty relief. He argued that welfare measures that simply increase the purchasing power of the poor, without altering population behavior or food supply, may fail to solve poverty and can even intensify it. In his view, if public assistance enables earlier marriage or larger families while subsistence remains limited, the number of people needing support will grow, and wages may remain under pressure. This argument was directed in part at the English poor laws and became influential in later debates over social policy. Its importance lies in Malthus's emphasis on unintended consequences. A humane policy may have effects different from its intentions if it ignores demographic response. At the same time, this is also where the essay has drawn strong ethical criticism. Critics argue that Malthus could appear to place responsibility for poverty on the poor while underestimating inequality, institutional failure, technological innovation, and social rights. The topic remains significant because it shows how population theory became linked to welfare policy. Lastly, influence on demography, ecology, economics, and evolutionary thought. The essay's significance extends well beyond its original political context. By treating population as a measurable force shaped by fertility, mortality, subsistence, and social institutions, Malthus helped establish core questions of modern demography. His influence also reached economics by linking wages, food supply, laboring families, and scarcity in a systematic way. In environmental thought, the Malthusian framework remains visible whenever debates focus on population pressure, resource limits, carrying capacity, and sustainability. Its most famous scientific afterlife is its influence on Charles Darwin and Alfred Russel Wallace, who saw in the struggle for limited resources a model relevant to natural selection. Yet the legacy is contested. Agricultural technology, global trade, public health, and the demographic transition have complicated or contradicted simple Malthusian predictions. Many societies have experienced falling birth rates as education, urbanization, and women's opportunities expand. For this reason, the essay is best read not as a fixed forecast of inevitable catastrophe, but as a foundational model of population resource tension whose assumptions require historical testing. In conclusion, this book is most valuable for readers interested in the origins of demography, classical political economy, environmental limits, and the history of social policy. It will especially benefit students of economics, sociology, political theory, intellectual history, and sustainability studies, because it shows how one compact principle could reshape debates about poverty, welfare, progress, and scarcity. The practical benefit is not that Malthus offers ready-made modern policy solutions, but that he forces readers to examine the relationship between good intentions and material constraints. His arguments encourage attention to feedback effects. Changes in wages, relief, food supply, or social norms can alter family formation and population outcomes. The intellectual benefit is equally important, since the essay reveals how theories of society depend on assumptions about nature, reproduction, and limits. Compared with later books on population or ecology, Malthus stands out because he is working at the origin point of many modern debates. His reasoning is stark, sometimes morally uncomfortable, and frequently challenged by later evidence, but it remains historically indispensable. The Penguin Classics edition is useful because it presents the famous essay within a broader frame of related writings and editorial context, making the work accessible as both a primary text and a continuing source of debate. If you would like to support Thomas Malthus, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.